We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You have to fill me in on this one. What's your thought process here, Robbie?
It could be multiple things. I mean, the Miami Hurricanes, they're in a land of confusion. No, that last segment we just had, we were trying to get Ira on, and we couldn't get him on.
Now, that was a land of confusion.
Yeah. It was so close, man. I almost pulled out a miracle.
You heard Ira's voice. We still got our 15 minutes of heat in. You can sit Ira tomorrow, and that's okay. Tomorrow's a good day to do it, too, because obviously
they've got to preview the war.
I mean, tomorrow's the preview. What did you call it again?
The war on South Beach.
The war on South Beach. The war on South Beach. That's every weekend on South Beach. It gets crazy.
Well,
all
true.
The partying and all the crazy stuff. The war on South Beach, as Robbie likes to claim. Tomorrow night, the Lakers and the Heat from the Heat's house, where the Heat are a perfect 11-0. I think it's still as it stands. Is it three teams that are still unbeaten?
Yeah, I believe it's a Philadelphia and a Boston too. Yes. Not Milwaukee, because Milwaukee had that loss to the Heat.
The Heat beat Milwaukee. The Heat beat Toronto on the road. They've had a couple impressive road wins.
Pipe down.
Well, no, I'm excited.
It's early. Look, you can be
here. Can we use the early line 25 games in? It's
No. Season. No, here's where I got that. And Will, you know this more than anybody. Early in the season, every time you've paid attention to Pat Riley or the Heat or anything, what have they told you? We need to get all our stuff together so when we get to January. Okay. Good, bad, or indifferent. So that means that even if you're playing excellent, if I take that same approach, it's only the approach that I've learned from you.
No, I get it. Look, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? You're trying to get to the finish.
Okay,
trying to get to
right.
The finish. Here's another interesting thing. We talk so much about what people discuss and Heat fans discuss. The question I was asked much more before the season that I don't get as much, but that I still do get, is when is that next move? In the preseason and before the season, everybody was asking about where are you going to be a star, one more player. Now that they have played so well, right, and are 18-6, are you, and I'm asking you, Leroy, but I'm asking the fans in general, changing your opinion of what the Heat needs right now? I think we could all agree that you want another superstar.
No.
But there isn't just one dangling out there that you can go grab right now. It's just not the way it works.
Here's what I would say. If you're going to add somebody, it would only be a guy who's a two-way player. You see what I mean? You don't actually need scoring.
What kind? Okay? Are you talking about
a guy with length?
Star?
Guy with length. It doesn't matter.
Like your you assets. Need, what, I would what say. What assets are you giving? Are you giving up on a
No,
a
that's what I'm saying. Me personally,
those guys?
Me personally, I would not give up anybody. There is nobody unless you want to be honest with you, I would like JJ. Like, he would work perfectly if everything was together, right? I don't know what the situation is.
There's two. It's funny. The two situations are so different. Deion and JJ, right? JJ came in the camp and not in the conditioning that they wanted him to be. I think part of it, JJ's thing, was probably more too much focus away from basketball. But JJ's not a bad guy. JJ is a team guy.
He's
the
like
perception
captain,
with
isn't he?
Yeah, and they believe it. They love JJ. Not saying they don't love Deion, but I think Deion's stuff has been more self-inflicted in the sense that it's an attitude adjustment that he needed to make that didn't happen. You know, the conditioning stuff, all that, look, that applies for every Heat player. You got to come in shape. It's right. No different for anyone. If Jimmy Butler came in 10 pounds overweight and didn't make it, they would be on him too. But Jimmy's a conditioning freak who came in, and you could see as much as he plays. The point with Deion, though, is Deion is the one guy that just hasn't bought in 100% into what he needs to do. Look who has, though. Goran Dragic. You think Goran Dragic wants to be on the bench?
Yeah, but guess what?
No.
Goran, and that's the only reason why I get upset about Deion. Mm-hmm. Deion, you can be Deion. I get it. You all about confidence.
I love that about him.
And whatever.
Irrational confidence, Philly cheese. I love that.
But here's what you need to understand, right? At some point, you have to see and take it for what it is. You have been around this organization long enough to know that the guy who starts does not determine how many minutes, who gets the most minutes.
We see it every game.
And you've seen it for years.
Yeah.
So the fact that he hasn't understood that, that's what bothers me. And when you look at Goran, who's still playing 30 minutes a game, he was playing too much then.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, to be in that environment every day and not have a concept or an understanding of what is going on there because you're so consumed with mm-hmm. the optics of how your career looks, that's what pisses me off about Goran.
I get about Deion.
Deion.
Yeah, I get it. That's a frustrating part. And I do think he'll play a role at some point. I don't know if it'll be anytime soon, but we shall see. Yeah. What we're going to see now is our headlines, Robbie, which includes that big game tomorrow night.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
That's right, Will. The war on South Beach.
It's coming.
The war got moved up an hour earlier, too. It's supposed to be a later start at 8 o'clock, but the war is starting 7 o'clock tomorrow night from the American Airlines Arena. It's the last month of the American Airlines Arena, by the way.
That's right. No one knows what the arena will be called starting next year.
They will be taking on the Lakers. It is a 7 o'clock tip-off. 6 o'clock, the JetBlue Vacations pregame would get started right here on the ticket with Zaslow and Tommy Tighe. The Lakers were all – they played yesterday against the Magic. They won. Quick flight to Miami.
22-3. God, they're good. It's a good team.
They had a night off at South Beach.
Who's surprising you more, the Heat or the Lakers? And I don't mean because of the players, but I mean you knew that each team was going to be better.
I guess, you look at it this way. If you would have told me before the season the Lakers would be 22-3, I would look at you and say, I don't think they will be, but I could see a route they'd be. If you told me that he would be 18-6, I would probably say, I don't think they'll be 18-6.
Right.
No, I don't think they'll be 18-6.
Okay, there's too many unknowns. You knew about LeBron and AD, yeah. So you knew there was two superstars in the
league.
Nobody
knew that Tyler was going to be the impactful player.
Right.
By the way, just thinking of
Duncan didn't have that good of a year last year, I don't think. You didn't know he was going to come out and lighten it up.
Oh, people
right.
When Spo started Duncan early, they're like, what is Spo doing?
And to hear those guys in that locker room say, he's one of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life.
I know I had this conversation last time I filled in, or whatever it was last week, the week before. The only guy I knew a little bit about was Kendrick, only because in being around them and going to some of the practices or in the preseason and seeing, being in the games, everyone kept saying the same thing. Watch this Kendrick Nunn guy. Just watch. This kid is good. He's legit. And someone told me the week before the season, don't be surprised if Kendrick Nunn starts. And I said,
who?
Starts?
What?
Yeah. Starts?
Right.
So, and remember what happened game one that Kendrick ended up starting because Jimmy was out?
Jimmy
and
was
then
out.
Spo said after the game, I was going to start him regardless. Kendrick
right.
Nunn was
yeah.
our starter.
Right.
So, this wasn't some fluky thing. They saw something in him that in the summer and then in training camp that made them give him in this role.
I will say this. Is there any team that ends up giving roster spots to their D-League more than the Heat?
Not productive spots. Sure, there are teams that use
Right, but I mean, I'm talking about guys who end up having careers.
Yes, that have. And look, and you look at Kendrick Nunn, and you look at him, this guy looks like he's going to be a player in the league. Like, he's here to stay because he's learning as he goes, but he's also producing as he goes. A guy that could go four or five games in that kind of shooting slump as a rookie and not let it get to his head to the point where he can then come back and score 36 on 15 of 24.
Right.
And this isn't a big guy who's just down there dunking. This is a guy who's creating and shooting and all that stuff. So it's been fun. Robbie, what else you got? I'm sorry.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten to this story yet. We got Willie Taggart. He is now the new coach at FAU.
He is. Willie goes. I think it's a great spot for him. It's a great spot for him. I think Willie's a good coach.
It's one of those guys. Is he a better recruiter than he is a coach?
They say he's a great recruiter. They say he's a great. The players love him. It's interesting because it goes to the conversation we had earlier about college football. There is no patience in college football. Look at Manny, right? What's happened with Manny and the lack of patience. If the Canes had won those three games we all said they should have won, Georgia Tech, Duke, and FIU, and they were 9-3, Does your opinion of Manny change? Yes. All within the framework of 1 year of three games that they lost.
Kind
of,
because even
they're in the Orange Bowl.
They went through a stretch where they were playing pretty good, I've always said, and you can ask Robbie, I just wish he wouldn't talk so much, because he puts everyone in a bad spot, you know, by writing these checks that they can't cash.
Manny's optics of the new Miami, the excitement to what they've actually been, that's hurt him, no doubt, and I hope he learns from it. But even an example I used earlier with Dan Mullen, I saw Dan Mullen yesterday at this Orange Bowl event. Dan's an excellent coach. He's a good guy. He's done a great job. Gator fans love him for the 2 10-win seasons that he's had following the 4-win season before he got there. If the Gators had lost to Miami this year, which was a close game, could have gone either way, or lost another game,
he would have been fired by half.
Well, the fans in Florida will be calling for his head, not praising him. So it's college. There is no patience. What I'm trying to say is the fine line between a win and a loss is also the fine line between wanting a coach and thinking he should be fired.
Look at Michigan. Like, there's people asking for Jim Harbaugh's head. Like, the guy proves he's a good coach. He's a good coach. Yeah. So, like, I mean, because you're not winning, you mean you get rid of a good coach? What, you think you're going to find a better coach?
I always love that example. It's like, get rid of this guy. Okay, so who do you have? I got to hire. And then, okay, who are you going to hire?
Where I was like that. Go? You know who I was like that? I was like that with the quarterback. I was like that
with Ryan Tannehill.
Because I'm like, okay, yeah, get rid of. Okay, who's just giving up their quarterback?
Yes.
Go lose.
Now, if you're drafting one top five and you want to develop it, sure.
Right. That's your,
but you can't just go find an elite quarterback out there.
They say, no, you can find. And I don't even know. Here, my whole thing about Ryan Tannehill is this. I don't know if he's elite. I don't know if he's a bust. I don't know what he is. All I'm saying is, on this team, with this protection, with this defense, you can't tell.
No, look,
and it's not his fault.
And I say this all the time when I have conversations with Giants fans like I am, you know, like about Daniel Jones. I like what I've seen in Daniel Jones. He's shown me a lot more than what I thought because, you know,
they didn't know him when they drafted him. Right.
But I will say this, no matter what he can do, if the Giants don't fix their offensive line and if they don't figure out a way to get guys, receivers that can get a little separation, he's never going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. He's just going to be, you know, he's going to be, because you're never going to, and we saw it with Tannehill all those years. Now, there are certain quarterbacks, there are certain quarterbacks that are that.
Okay, it's about five.
Look, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that pretty much on any NFL team, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be pretty damn good.
There's five.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
And so for you to pin your hopes on finding one of those five as an NFL fan is asking a lot. It's great when you have it, but it's asking a lot. Robbie, what else you got?
By the way, just for reference, Manny Diaz is eighth among 130 FBS coaches on the hot seat rankings, according to coacheshotseat.com.
Really? hot seat?
Don't do it, Will!
It's hot in Coral Gables right now.
What? Will, you can't do it. Don't. Look, you know what that was right there?
What?
He threw you a little worm, right?
He wants you to grab it.
Yes, he wants you to go grab it because he has a whole list.
Well, it's not my list. It's an actual website. It's beautiful.
Do me a favor. I know not this is exciting radio. Give me the top
one. Tom Herman from Texas is number one.
Okay.
And then you got Kevin Sumlin at Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Will Muschamp at South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Derek Mason. I'm surprised he hasn't been fired yet at Vanderbilt.
Because you try telling Derek Mason he's fired. You see how fiery that guy is?
Oh, yeah. For real. And you got Scott Frost in Nebraska,
How can Vanderbilt fire their coach?
By the way,
you're Vanderbilt.
There's Scott Frost right in Nebraska. There's another program living in the past.
Yeah.
They bring in Scott Frost, right? They bring back the Nebraska tradition of Tom Osborne. It's Scott Frost coming in. They're terrible. And then 2 years in, they're still terrible, but he's trying to build something. And you got to fire him already? I mean, did Scott Frost all of a sudden become a bad coach because he got there? I mean, don't you have to give a guy time?
Well, Scott Frost gets more leeway because of what he did at UCF.
Of course. He has a little bit of a track record. Not a little bit, a lot of a bit. He did a great job at UCF. But what I'm saying is there is this – and it's just the times with social media, with the instant opinion and access, whether it's talk radio or TV or social media, where everybody can have their say on this guy should get fired. I'm not going to say a name. I was talking to a former Florida State player last night, and he told me straight up, I wouldn't have fired Willie. I don't think Willie should have been fired. I don't even think we gave him much of a chance. He was getting good players. He's trying to implement his thing. Guys liked him. People liked him. Like, he just needed, but the problem is nobody's got the patience for that. You just don't.
Here. I think in the past, when you said the word buyout, people cringed, right? We're not wasting that money, mm-hmm. right? Now you have boosters.
Oh, they come together
that don't
in a meeting,
care.
Get a little
right.
meeting. Let's get.
Right.
You got money. I got a million here. Let's buy him out. Let's do it.
Right.
He's gone.
Right. And so when you have that situation, the decision doesn't even become the athletic director's decision. You see what I mean?
Because so
if they
money.
Take that yeah. money and come to the athletic director and say, here's the buyout. We want him out.
That's it.
Or it's we over. Not? Or are we going to stop giving?
Well, that's one thing now, Miami doesn't have. They're not in a position where they're just going to keep throwing money at coaches.
There's one university that won't happen.
What's that?
Michigan. You know why?
Why's that?
Because Stephen Ross has given the University of Michigan about $700 million.
Jim right? Harbaugh, by the way, 92nd on this list about on the hot seat rankings.
They made a list of 92 coaches?
No, it goes no, all 130.
All 130.
Yeah, like the bottom two is obviously, you know, Dabo Sweeney and Ed Orgeron.
Right.
What the hell do you want a list of that for, Gage?
I told you, don't bite the worm.
This
it's
is a
fate.
Robbie. This is a Robbie list.
Yeah, I told you don't bite the
this
worm,
is BS.
Will. I told you don't bite the worm.
Was too busy. I don't know what it was. It was too busy.
Nick Saban only 97, by the way.
Oh yeah, because he's really on the high.
And he's rising. He's rising up.
His yeah. buyout is like $75 million.
But so you're saying Stephen Ross?
Stephen Ross is,
all his money. Is
the biggest booster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're gonna have to get the okay from him to
and
fire
that,
Harbaugh.
That didn't happen unless he's bringing them here to Miami.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not gonna
Which,
happen either.
You know what? One thing I will say about the Dolphins. You can say what you want about the team. You can say what you want about the players. There's two situations I've never seen in my life. I've never seen a team add 15 new guys on a roster the week before the season with three of them starting. Okay? And
they've kept that going in season, by the way.
Right. And they've switched. They've probably switched 25 guys.
Brian Flores was asked about it yesterday. It's funny. Yesterday I had to pick sound for our newscast, and I was listening to Brian Flores' press conference, and he was asked specifically, hey, is that tough on players with continuity? And he said it is, but our job and my job is to find the best players each week that are going to give us the best shot to win. And if you produce, you play. And if you don't, you don't. And they literally are grabbing guys off the street
right.
and starting them in NFL
starting
games.
Them. And people are wondering, and I
week
would say,
out.
You want to know the sign of a good coach, right? It is add a guy to his roster this week and then see that guy being productive.
Yeah, get him up
that
to
means
speed to the
of all the
playing.
Other 31 teams, nobody thought he was a productive NFL player. You bring him onto your team, he's starting that week, and he's having success.
Listen, this isn't a product of old age. I joke about you get older, you start forgetting names and things. This isn't that. This is just the fact of the way the Dolphins are right now. And you can look at it as a good thing or a bad thing. But I watch Dolphins game, and I know I'm not alone in this. I watch games sometimes and say, who? Wait. And I'll pull up my phone and look at the roster. I'm like, I've never heard of that guy right. in my life.
Let me tell you
and
when it gets
plays.
Matt Collins.
Let me tell you when it gets real tough. When a guy gets released and then another guy has the same damn number.
Oh, then yeah.
So, right.
Yeah,
wait. He's not on the team anymore. He got cut. But why is he making? Oh, he's
No. I thought 42 was And now it's another guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no. And it happens every week. There are guys. That announcer must be making a mistake. That guy, who the hell? Who that guy doesn't play the Dolphins.
You used to listen
and then
to
I look
the
at
Dolphins.
The roster. Stop it. Then I look at the roster. I'm like, wait, that guy does play on the roster. Where did he come
right.
from? Oh, wait, he got signed last week? But wait, he's starting?
And the
like,
one,
what the hell?
The one thing I'll tell you about Joe and Jimmy and those guys, they always have a little story, even though the guy just got there.
Let me tell you, those guys, they're earning their money on stories
Yo,
this year.
Oh, my goodness.
They're earning their money on stories, coming up with stories on players this year.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
It's unbelievable. But here's what I say about Brian Flores, okay? There's two things I need to see. I need to see how he coaches with good players.
All right, listen, and, if he can coach with bad
right.
players like this, then I have
and,
a feeling he might
And I will
be good
say
at that.
That when it started, I've said, and I've said it loudly, I don't think he should have took the job. Only because when you're a minority coach and you get the opportunity, why would you take a job where nothing good can happen?
That leash will be short because
right.
you lose a lot in the NFL,
and
that's
and,
it.
And what he has done, right? I don't care what he does from here on out. He may not be the coach for long at Miami, but I will always have mad respect for this dude and how he's handled himself and what he has done. And I would say to Manny, hey, if you want some tips, just look up north.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you guys meet after the season and have a nice little lunch together.
Right,
And exchange information, but more than anything, Manny, listen to Flores.
Mentality, just how he goes about doing his job.
Yeah, I would listen, that's for sure. There is a Miami Vice feel to it. This is the is this the official theme song for the war on South Beach tomorrow night, Robbie?
Yeah, buddy. And I believe they'll be in the blue Vice jerseys, I assume.
Yeah, I got my blue Vice jersey. It's awesome.
I like those jerseys. I like that blue. Oh yeah,
it looks better when Miss Horde wears it.
It's a big game tomorrow night. I love that big. You could call it whatever you want, Robbie.
He just moved on.
Well,
he just moved on. So,
I got a question for you. Go ahead, talk to me.
Hey, Robbie, you too. Here you go. Texter chimes in. Why is it that new coaches who win immediately get accused of winning with the previous coach's players, but if that new coach loses, he's a bad coach? We have to let Manny recruit his guys. Here's why. Here's why there's so much heat on Manny. And it's self-inflicting. Manny did that to himself. Like
the build-up, you mean?
The build-up of this year's stadium, this season,
the gifts.
Right, right. All that stuff. You know, when the reality was, until the things that made them 7-6 changed, they were going to be the same team. And
guess what
they were?
Which is basically 7-6.
And guess what they were? The same team. Yeah. So you did do the same job
with the same players as
the last coach. Just cheaper.
You packaged it better. You sold
it
better.
Right, you sold it better.
Yeah.
So you have to understand the disappointment is greater with Manny, not because they had a bad record and you say the coaching stinks, but because you went into the year with all these promises that it was going to be so much better. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard of a coach. Have you ever heard of a coach be that way? Like basically telling you, right?
It's funny, it's the new age of what a player and a coach, how you use social media and how you use that it's fascinating, obviously. And look, you could use Manny as a case study almost. Like, did he? Now, if they would have won, everyone would have eaten that up, right? Because we all ate it up. I know I did. And I think most people that are listening that are Canes fans enjoyed the gif of the incoming transfer portal and all those different guys that were added and all the hoopla with that. And what was the wrestling stuff where Manny jumped in and tackled?
Oh, yeah,
and
he beat up the 7-6.
Beat up the 7-6. And all that. We embraced it and we loved it, and then 6 months later when they're 6-6 we thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
But because here's why: you can't be that way before you win a game.
You better back up that talk if you're gonna
do that. and look, if he had come in right and been that way and then ate it, right? But it was like a shell game. He had a different excuse every week. Now, you don't want your players to complain. You want them to own up to it, right? But your coach can't be out there giving a whole bunch of excuses.
Look, you said earlier, you said Brian Flores is an example as far as leadership.
That dude eats it.
Yeah, and I will say this. Look, I understand that the expectations going into the season for the Dolphins and Canes from an outside perspective were different. Look, no one expected the Dolphins to be a contender. I'm not saying that everybody expected the Canes to be a national contender, but certainly to win the Coastal. But the one thing Brian Flores has done from day one is shown accountability to the results, to his roster, and to the product.
Regardless of how, man, we were ready to give him the benefit of the doubt. He wouldn't take it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Out to the point now where you look at the Dolphins, if you just open up a website and look at the standings or whatever, you say, okay, the Dolphins are 3-10. They're terrible, right? You look at the point differential and they're terrible. Yet, you don't feel as bad about it because you kind of understand the challenges they have and what they're trying to do in rebuilding and acquire assets and try to move forward. And you look at the accountability Brian Flores has taken in that and what he's gotten out of the roster he has, And for some reason, you don't feel that bad about what they've done because you think that Brian Flores is going to lead them the right direction. Where you look at the Canes and you look at their record at 6-6 and what they were not able to accomplish in the games they lost and the buildup that you had to get there, and you say to yourself, man, that was terrible. That was a mess. And right. It's funny what the perception and how that changes from one to the other and the way it's handled.
I mean, you think of where Brian Flores, it's amazing because after the first 2 weeks, how many people say Brian Flores ain't the guy?
Well, they were one of the worst starts in NFL history from a statistical differential standpoint for the first three games or so.
But, and this is the opposite of what we talked about there, right? You give a guy 15 new players during the first week of the season.
That was after final roster. Remember the final roster was 53, and then they kept making moves.
Right. So they had 15 new guys in week one. They get pummeled in week one and week two, and you want to fire the coach, but you never even consider what that guy went through. And guess what? He took it under the chin. He didn't say nothing. I'm not saying he's going to be a great coach, but what I'm saying is
he's a great leader, though. He's a very good leader.
What he has earned, based on what he's done, what he has earned is an opportunity to see this thing through, because the guy who gets his junk kicked in because of what you did to him the first season at least deserves some time to see it through. That's it.
Can I tell you something, too, that bothers, I think, Canes fans about Manny? And this is fair or unfair, and I'm just going to say it like it is as a Canes fan and alum, and also try to be impartial about it, but I understand that I'm attached to it a bit. Manny has given off the vibe of Al Golden. Remember what people used to call Al Golden? Ooh. The used car salesman?
Yeah.
Like he'll sell you. Manny has
politician, used car salesman.
Manny
he's making a lot of the same excuses.
Yes, he's given, and I'm not saying that's Manny. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying he's given off that vibe. And if you give that vibe in this town, given to what was the Canes fans remember about Al Golden and all the promises and the Coastal and all this stuff that they used to sell you on, it's not a good way to start.
Well, it's dumb. You know why? Canes fans are stupid for falling for it again.
We are stupid.
You fell for it again.
In the past, it's what we do.
At any point in time, you could say, hold on, we've been through this, player. Just win some games, and then we'll see you on the other side. They say Leroy just doesn't have any swag.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's it. See?
Swag is 6-6, bro. 7-6 last year. 1-10 win season in the past 15 years. Listen, what swag is left?
My definition of swag has changed immensely since Jimmy Butler told me that Duncan Robinson has swag.
Ooh.
When I heard Jimmy say that, I said, okay, my definition of swag has changed.
Robbie.
If Duncan Robinson is swag.
You appreciate this one. Football guys punished us for not going for it on 4th-and-1.
No, they went for it. They just didn't get it against Bethune-Cookman.
I made a big deal about not getting 4th-and-1.
Against
Bethune-Cookman. And me and Tobin went at it because he's like, they won 63-0. It doesn't matter. I'm like, dude, you don't understand what 4th-and-1 says, right?
That is an attitude. Fourth and one is an attitude.
And guess what? As the year went on, and that statement had to be made over and over again, it started to come. I said, man, there's certain things that happen on a football field.
Even in a 63-0 win.
It's an indictment on who you are.
It had two failed 4th-and-1s against FIU.
Right.
You have to remind me. And then my favorite thing of Manny is then going back and then saying it's a rebuild.
somebody said,
yeah, the rebuild, probably taken out of context, the rebuild is a rebuild of our confidence. That's what we're rebuilding.
Yeah, that's like, not the way it works. And I said, you know, I, before the season, said, give people, this is a kind of a rebuild when you have a new staff, a new system. Sure, in a rebuild, you could still win 8-9 games. That doesn't excuse you to just win 6.
Well, look,
but
I guess what
rebuilding things. I mean, it's okay to say that.
Brian Flores is going through a rebuild.
No, that's a
But here's what I'll say about that. If you're going through a rebuild and you're not winning games, there's a couple of things that you need to see. One, the effort, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me that these Dolphins aren't trying, okay? And two, is everybody doing the right thing? No stupid penalties, no 15-yarders. You don't beat yourself. And what I'll say is – the Dolphins don't get penalized that much. If they get beat, it's a talent thing. It's not a stupid penalty thing. Like, if it's...
Yeah, they've been much better. I mean, they've gone from one of the worst to one of the best.
Right. Again, so that's rebuilding. So that whoever comes through here, right, understands this is what it's going to take for you to get on the field.
You know who else is rebuilding? Georgia Tech. They were transitioning from a triple option into a regular offense, and they came down here and beat Miami.
Yeah. Look, Robbie, again, remember we said earlier, for those that weren't listening, Canes fans, we're getting everything we deserve. Everything that is said to me, I can't defend it. When people laugh at me about the Canes and they say, oh, you know what? I just sit there and I smile and say, you're right. I can't sit there and go like, oh, this and that. Oh, Leroy, I don't even want to know.
He said, Leroy has swag. Didn't nobody see the purple and gold Pootie Tang jacket he was wearing last week? Wait, let me see.
I must have missed that one.
Oh, let me see. I'll see if I can get it.
I missed that. I'm almost glad I missed that.
Yeah, this is a great segment. Too bad our signal was down.
There we go. All right, final segment. Full Manso in for Tobin today. Tobin's off through tomorrow. Leroy Horde, Robbie on the other side. Getting excited about the matchup. I know we're going to save a lot of this energy for tomorrow, and we hope to have Ira tomorrow. Is anybody listening to us, Robbie? Are we getting a...
Well, I mean, our stream works, our HD2 works, but right now our AM signal is out for the current moment. And yes, we will have Ira on again at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Well, not again. Well, I mean, to have him on again, you'd have to have him on today.
The fact that no one can hear us today is actually a benefit then, because then they can hear Ira tomorrow. They won't even know they missed him today.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the positive. What you missed was a lot of heat talk, obviously, a lot of conversation.
Radio.com Rewind, though, works really well.
I listened to that. I will listen to it later. Your points on Brian Flores, every time we bring up Brian Flores, it's funny the perception. I don't think there are...
Actually, we just came back. Our AM signal is back.
We're back. Just in time for the final 6 minutes.
Mortimer, we're back.
We'll recap everything.
Mortimer.
We'll recap everything that we just talked about the last 3.5 hours in 6 minutes. Finish the thought, though, on Brian Flores. I think that if you polled most Dolphins fans, which is almost impossible to do because I know everybody thinks differently to agree 100%, but I think a lot of Dolphin fans will tell you that they're happy with Brian Flores year one. Not everyone, obviously. There are going to be people that wanted a bigger name or more experience or whatever the case may be. But I actually think that most fans feel strongly about Brian Flores, where when we have the discussion on Manny Diaz, the negative tone, it's incredible the difference. You and I both agree that Manny needs more time, but I haven't had one fan come up to me and said that Manny isn't part of the problem.
Because it's self-inflicted. Like, he did this to himself. He did this to the football team himself by coming in with this bravado that he shouldn't have. Like, you know more, you know more than anybody what's on that team. Yeah, you say, we got to own 7-6. Well, with the same players, what are you saying?
7-6, hopefully. If they win the Blue Bonnet Bowl or whatever they're playing in, then they finish 7-6, right?
Yes. So when was the last time Miami had a losing record?
Not that long ago. 2014. They were 6-7 in 2014.
Because they lost the bowl game,
right?
Al's first season?
Isn't that when they went in the snow and played Notre Dame?
No, they weren't in the snow and played Washington State, but they finished the season 8-5 the year. The 6-7 year, I think they played in the same bowl game against South Carolina. Back then it was the Duck Commander Independence Bowl.
Right.
And they were 9-3. Everybody was feeling themselves. They just pounded North Carolina. And then they had that disastrous choke against Florida State. Like, they were up huge at home, and then Florida State came back with Winston, and then the season just collapsed after that. They lost to Virginia and Pitt, and then, you know, they lost in the South Carolina bowl game and finished 6-7.
You know what?
I'm trying to forget these times. Robbie, you're saying all this to me. It's like the first time I heard it. That's how much I've tried to forget.
You know what's amazing about, like, Miami is that you looking at these teams coming here and say, we need a get-right game. Georgia Tech is coming to town. And Georgia Tech is looking at you going, ooh, we need a get-right game. We're going to play Miami. And so when you have that, you know, difference in thoughts, like, maybe you need to regroup a little bit.
Look, if they had just beaten Georgia Tech at Duke, they'd win the Coastal.
Is it safe to say they're not good enough?
They're not.
Okay.
All right. And stop it with the what if. What was Manny's quote? Oh, if we did this and that.
Four plays away from 7-0.
Yeah. By the way, I just saw a question up on the screen. These morning shows, I guess it's ESPN, and they were saying, who wins the matchup, Deshaun Watson or Ryan Tannehill? Now, there's something I did not expect before the season to see up on the television screen.
That's funny, right?
Yeah, I mean, good for Ryan. That's funny. The other day, people have been talking so much about Tannehill. I'm like, I have nothing against Ryan Tannehill. I really don't. I don't think, to me, he was never the problem with the Dolphins. He just ran his course here, and that was it, you know? And people talk so much about, oh, look what he's doing over there. If he wouldn't have given it, I'm thinking to myself, why are we still talking about Ryan Tannehill? He was here, what, 6-7 years? Sure, you didn't build a championship team around him. I hope he does well. I hope he wins a championship one day. Good for him. I had no problem with him. But let's not act like Ryan Tannehill was the one that got away. You didn't want him anymore.
No,
the one you threw away.
Here's the problem. That, you know, sometimes you need to be honest about your situation, right? And the easy thing to do is just to make it about the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And my thing is that, guess what? I would say there's been more quarterbacks that you thought were above to average to win Super Bowls than elite, simply because of the teams around, the team that was around.
How many elite? Obviously, Tom Brady skews things.
He skews things.
Won so many. But
you go. Would you consider Eli elite?
No.
Okay.
I think Eli was a good quarterback. 15 years, very dependable. Obviously, always available, now, never hurt. Came up in big moments, but he wasn't elite.
By the time he goes to the Hall of Fame, that'll get lost because all you have is the numbers. You won't have the actual people who've seen him play. You understand what I'm saying?
It goes to the point of how many, with our own eyes, let's just use the last 15, 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, there are certain quarterbacks that I'm not old enough to say I saw play or certainly be able to process.
Brett Favre
Who are the real elite quarterbacks you have seen play in the last
Aaron Rodgers,
years?
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, yes. Phillip Rivers. Just guys that, like, I know I have a chance with him at quarterback.
There have been a handful.
There's a couple of young guys
new generation of guys, the Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jackson.
Right. I think Patrick Mahomes is more like Aaron Rodgers.
And let's see. And then look, the longevity and the big part of production is longevity,
health,
right?
Like longevity.
The big reason
right.
why people still talked about Eli all these years later is because Eli had that run, but he played a long time. But he was always the same quarterback. I mean, he came up in big games. Peyton, Brett Favre, who you mentioned. So if in 5-10 years we're still talking about the newer quarterbacks that are in the league now that are having success, then yes, they're in that category. But again, it is a lot to do with the people. Look at Deshaun Watson, right? Phenomenal player, a great quarterback. They haven't been able to put a really great team around them yet.
Right, but at some point, like here, I'll give you a perfect example. Was Tony Romo great?
Let me tell you, I'm a Giants fan, and I hated playing Romo because he was a very special player in the short time that he had. Longevity wasn't there.
What's the rap on Tony Romo?
That he couldn't win the big game.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
but,
it.
But
That's
a lot
it.
Of it had to do with the players around.
Right.
I'll give you a perfect example, and this is, again, me getting old and showing my age. In one of the Giants Super Bowl runs, and I can't remember which one it was, the Giants were playing the Cowboys in the second round, so that would be the second round of the playoffs. And the Giants were playing the close game. And Tony Romo, on a third down, throws a perfect pass to the middle of the field.
And it was dropped.
And in stride, it may have been a 70-yard touchdown.
Right, I remember.
Gets dropped. They punt. The Giants end up going to win the game, right? Tony has to throw like a long pass in the last play.
Right.
Picked up by
the last
gasp. Yeah,
right.
Last gasp. And Tony Romo threw the pick at the end of the game where Giants on the NFC.
Can't get it done.
If his receiver had caught that ball in stride 4 minutes earlier in the game and housed it like he probably would have, we wouldn't be having that discussion.
Right.
So much of it is the players around you and the people around you, the protection around you. You can't, and that's back to the original point of Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was never the problem in Miami. Unfortunately, he wasn't the solution either, but he wasn't, you know, there are so many other issues that the Dolphins have had in building, and you hope that they're getting it right now. So we'll see. We're also going to see tomorrow the Heat in that big one. Robbie, anything going on tonight? Just the Panthers, right?
Just the Panthers at 7
we
o'clock.
Got, we got an NFL game tonight.
You at Thursday Night Football, see Adam Gase get whooped by the Ravens. They're 16.5-point underdogs tonight.
16.5 points. They're going to Baltimore.
Not 500
miles.
Not
500 miles. Take the Jets.
Take the Jets?
No, I mean, it is a lot of points, but I'm not taking Adam Gase.
You're not
taking Adam Gase because it's a personal thing. But I will always take 16 points on an NFL team.
Yeah, you know, I will say this, especially on a short week where teams are kind of usually on Thursday nights a little
Lamar's
know.
A little banged up, so they might play close to the vest, thinking they don't have to do much to win.
See, here's the thing. I could see this being like a 24-9 type of game. You know,
that's a cover.
Where's a cover?
Yeah, there could be a garbage type cover,
yeah,
too.
I'm going with the Gaisers.
I don't have to.
You don't like Gaisers, you bet. Who do you
think? He didn't cover last week.
Well, how about this? We're going to finish this discussion tomorrow. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I'll say they cover.
Ravens.
I'm going Jets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.